Everyone needs a pastor. A visit to the Pastor's Study brings biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you and pastoral ministry from those with proven experience in Christian service. Our time together will be lively, sometimes controversial, always useful, and never dull. Welcome to the study of Pastor Bill Shishko.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you. Hey, it's great to have you with us for today's visit to the Pastor's Study. On a recent trip to Southern California, I was struck by the number of Asian Americans and Asian American communities that I saw while driving and walking from place to place. In some areas, I could drive for blocks and see only in Chinese, Korean, or Vietnamese signs. And even as metropolitan New York, where we are, has its little Seoul in the densely populated Korean area of Queens, known as Flushing, well, so Greater Los Angeles has its little Saigon in the Westminster area. In fact, well, the church in which I preached in Westminster, California, housed both an English-speaking and a Vietnamese-speaking congregation. I was impressed that Presbyterian and Reformed churches and others should become more aware of the Asian American community and how to minister to our Asian American friends and our Asian and American brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, we need to define what we mean by Asian American. It's a vast category of people that includes Chinese, Filipinos, Indians, Vietnamese, Koreans, and Japanese. And this group of people is the fastest growing of the three major ethnic and minority populations in the United States. Between the years 2000 and 2013, the population of native and foreign-born Asian residents in the United States grew by 56%. In comparison, during the same time period, the number of Hispanic Americans grew by 53%, and the number of African Americans grew by only 15%. And all predictions are that these growth trends will continue. By the year 2050, it's estimated that there will be over 34 million people of Asian background or national birth residing in the United States. And currently, California is home to about one-third of all Asian Americans, 5.2 million. New York is second with about 1.6 million Asian Americans in its borders. Texas is third with about 1.1 million Asian Americans. And other states in which the Asian American population is growing, and that population does tend to be concentrated in a few states, are New Jersey, Illinois, Washington, Hawaii, and Florida. By median household income, Asian Americans are far and away the most affluent of all the major ethnic groups in the United States. Now, they're also the most highly educated, the most tech-savvy, and the most driven of the major ethnic groups in the United States. Those of you who know Asian Americans know exactly what I'm talking about. Culturally, Asian Americans have more of a group orientation than native-born Americans. They put a big emphasis on the family and not just father, mother, and children. Asian Americans think very much in terms of the extended family, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins. Loyalty to the family is expected, and independent behavior that disrupts the family in any way is frowned upon. Honor is crucial, especially in not bringing any disgrace to the family. For many reasons, not least because of the political turmoil that's marked their various nations over the years, Asian Americans possess an inner stamina and a strength in facing life's challenges, and preserving harmony in social relations is prized, and sometimes over truth. Whereas native-born Americans tend to be more direct in their communication, especially if you're in New York, Asian Americans may be less direct, often communicating more by body language than by exact words. So in all of this, as with all people groups, you can see the cultural expressions of both people made in the image of God, a God who does not exist alone, but in community as the triune God, but also the fall of humankind, humankind of all nations, tribes, and languages. God ordained the family, but the family's not ultimate. God is. Harmony should be preserved, but not at the expense of truth. The group is important, but so is the individual. All cultures model the good and the bad. Sin warps things, but the things in themselves are good. Today, on A Visit to the Pastor's Study, we want to consider ministry to the Asian American community, and we need to do this by being deeply aware that, again, for various reasons, native-born Americans have tended to racially stereotype Asians and have all too often been culturally insensitive or even offensive. Now, we'll explore that a bit as today's program develops. We'll also explore ways that the American church, particularly Presbyterian and Reformed churches, can learn from our Asian brothers and sisters in Christ, who are now our neighbors in the wonderful ethnic and cultural salad bowl that we call the United States of America. My guest today is Pastor Sam Chung, an ordained Orthodox Presbyterian minister who currently labors in a Korean-American congregation in Queens. He'll be our window on ministry in the Asian American community. Now remember, this program enables you and invites you to call in with your questions. Our live call-in number is 631-955-5400. Again, that's 631-955-5400. You don't need to give your full name. You just give your first name and where you're from. But you can also text your questions. We have a special number for Pastor Bill. You can enter this into your mobile device for Pastor Bill. Special number to text your questions, 516-367-0391, 516-367-0391. So you can remain anonymous if you want, or just give your name, your location, but we will preserve your identity to the extent that you want us to do that. Anyway, for now, Pastor Sam Chung, welcome to A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Good to be with you, Bill.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you. Pastor Sam, tell us a little bit about your background.
Yes, I grew up in Korea, South Korea, Seoul, and came to the States when I was 17, to Bryan, Texas. That's where I went to high school and college in Texas, yes.
Well, so that is the state with the third highest number of Korean Americans. So were you in a Korean American community in Bryan, Texas?
No, I was not. That I would find myself as one of the few Asian Americans in that town and in my school as well.
Yeah, okay. Tell us a little bit about how you came to faith in Christ, your calling to the ministry, and we want to delve into these. Now, keep in mind that when we use Asian American, that's a very broad category. And Brother Sam here is not broad. He is Korean. So we'll focus a bit more on ministry in the Korean American community. But tell us about how you came to faith in Christ and called to the ministry.
Yes, I used to go to church even when I was in Korea as a child, student. But when I came to America to study, I went to college in Texas. And there it was a Korean college ministry. And it was a random thing, but by the providence of God, I met someone who was Christian who invited me to their prayer meeting and Bible study. And over time, I saw the true gospel and came to faith, real faith, I would say, through their ministry. And over time, I decided to become a pastor.
And you went to what seminary?
Seminary. Afterwards, I came to Philadelphia to attend Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. And you've been laboring in the New York area as a pastor since when?
Since 2002.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. In radio, we have to turn ears into eyes, okay?
Yes.
So why don't you give us a picture of your ministry to the Korean-American community in metropolitan New York?
If you travel down a Northern Boulevard, which is the big boulevard in Flushing in Queens, you will see many signs of Koreans and Chinese, and you see how neighbors are changing rapidly. I am situated in Elmhurst, East Elmhurst, right across from LaGuardia Airport, and the church that I'm serving is actually the oldest Korean church in Queens, 48th year now. It has now become a Hispanic neighborhood. But in the 80s and 90s, that's where majority of Korean Americans used to live. And the church where I am serving is a commuting church, I would say. People commute to come to our church. And we've been ministering to Queens, people living in Queens for a long time now, and I am in charge of education department there.
So, what's your population of Koreans in the five boroughs of Manhattan, of the city?
They estimate about 200,000, but there could be more.
On all the five boroughs?
All the five boroughs. Korean-Americans.
Korean-Americans, okay. Pastor Sam, what are some of the differences you are most familiar with Korean-American community? But maybe probably the best way to develop it is give us some of the distinctives of ministry in the Asian-American community, particularly the one you're familiar with, which is the Korean-American churches.
I would say Korean-American churches, they number a lot. There are more than 4,000 Korean-American churches in the States and more than 400 Korean-speaking churches in Queens alone. So I would say Korean-American churches are predominantly majority in terms of Asian churches. There are Chinese churches and others too, but we are dealing with, in many cases, first-generation immigrants who came 30 years ago. Even now, they just arrived, and they are in our neighborhood, so we minister to them in various ways.
Now, they moved to the United States South Korea has a robust economy. What are the reasons for moving to the United States?
Right. That's a good question, because in the 70s, when Koreans now start pouring into the States, they came for the new job, better living conditions, etc., etc. But now, when people come, mostly they come for the education of their children.
Ah, okay. Now, we think religiously. I mean, when I think of South Koreans, I think of a predominantly Christian country. Is that accurate?
I would say yes.
It is, okay. Mm-hmm. Because studies show, and they tend to be more generalizing with the Asian American community, a high percentage of secularism, of secularists or those that would say they're not affiliated with any religion. It is, but with the Korean immigrants, they're going to be primarily Christian. You're going to have some Buddhists, or what's the religious makeup?
The most recent stats that I've seen is, obviously including nominal Christians too, about 70% of Korean Americans, the people who are living here, they one way or another, they attend the church or they are influenced by the church. Okay. It is indispensable in their lives.
Yeah, so they see when they come to the United States, they see a commitment to a local church as indispensable to their functioning well in our society and having ministry for their family, correct?
That's right.
Okay. Now tell us a little bit about the specific ministry in the church that you're in. It's the oldest Korean-American congregation in Queens.
It has changed over the years now. But my, I would say, senior pastor level 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when the new immigrants were coming in, their job as pastors was to receive phone call, even from Korea, to come and greet them in the airports. And they would spend majority of their time during the weekdays to resettling them into schools and in the apartments.
So the pastors are doing this.
Pastors are doing that. You ask any Korean pastor, first-generation Korean pastors, they will all say they had to greet someone and resettle them. And our church has spinned off an organization called Korean Community Service. That's what Pastor has been doing for many years now. It has grown into a community service with federal grants.
Interesting.
In Flushing.
Yeah. Now, are there, well, probably going too far afield here, but is there kind of a model we can learn from here? We think of, I don't want to get too far removed from Asian American ministry, but we think of dealing with refugees. Are there parallels with the way churches would minister to refugees?
I would say, because people who are born here, like second generation American Asians, would not have much exposure to it. But all of their parents, one way or another, they're affected by some kind of war at home in 20th century. So they would hear about it, and with the things that are happening in the world now, they will readily sympathize with them because of their upbringing, their traditions, and their history in their families as well.
Okay, let's imagine what's a typical week like in the church life of the church in which you're serving now?
In my particular situation, I will go to church every day as pastors are required or expected to be there. They will have office hours from 9 to 5 or so, but we all have prayer meetings in the morning that we are expected to attend.
And we're going to discuss that a little bit later. That's huge. Okay. So yes. your day starts about 5 or earlier, so you can be at that 6 o'clock prayer meeting.
Right. I wake up most of days about 4:30 a.m. to be there, even sometimes to preach.
At the prayer meeting. Yeah,
at the prayer meeting daily, yes.
And then you're in the office. Now, is that counseling or is it administration, sermon preparation? What's in the mix?
Right. So depending on your role, and if you are in charge of certain groups of people, then during the day you will visit families and businesses during the daytime and even in the evening times. But like myself, who's in charge of education, it's a little different. It's mostly depending on what I am expected to teach. And students, obviously, they are in school until certain times, certain hours, so we cannot go visit them in school. So it depending on your role, but we are doing some kind of ministry, sermon prep in the premises.
And you're there 9 to 5 in your office?
Yes.
You have evening commitments too?
I tend to say no.
Okay. You get up at 4:30 in the morning. They give you a day off.
Yes, Monday. Monday off.
All right. Okay. And as far as the Lord's Day services, what is that like in the Korean congregation?
Right. Usually if you have your own building, they would at least have two services in the morning and in the afternoon too. And they have to share it with their children, now grown children, English congregation. So about 2 to 3 services a day, depending on your church.
And I remember, we're talking about the prayer meetings, too, every morning. Mm-hmm. Is that 7 days a week?
Some churches even do it on Sunday mornings, but most of them don't.
Yeah, well, we're going to have an occasion to develop that aspect of Korean-American church life in just a moment. Mm-hmm. My guest today is Pastor Sam Chung, and we're talking about ministry in the Asian American community with an emphasis on the Korean American community. And we'd love to have you call with your questions. Probably a topic you haven't thought a lot about, but we should be, given the growth of the Asian American community in the United States. Our call in number, 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400. And remember the text. Just put in Pastor Bill for the name, and you can text your question at 516-367-0391. 516-367-0391. And now a message from the voice of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
That great city, New York. Metropolitan New York is the largest city in the United States. And with a population of over 20 million people, Metro New York is one of the largest cities in the world. And what's more, Metro New York is home to people from every nation of the world. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. But churches faithful to historic Reformation Christianity in the Metro New York area are few and far between. The mission fields of Metro New York are America's richest and most neglected. Reformation Metro New York is an agency by which the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is planting and developing biblically faithful churches and church ministries in the Metro New York area. Through Reformation Metro New York, you can help promote the outreach of this program, A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and other projects designed to further the ongoing reformation of the church. That and church planting are the great passions of Reformation Metro New York. For more information, check out the website at reformationmetrony.org, where you'll get a personal look at the ministries of the churches, pastors, evangelists, and teachers of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in the area, and you'll learn how you can be a part of our labors. We need your help. Here's the site again, reformationmetrony.org. Thanks for your interest and your help. Remember that great city, New York. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. Now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you. My guest today, Pastor Sam Chung. The discussion on ministry to the Asian American community. Live call-in number 631-955-5400. Jot it down, 631-955-5400. And the text number for under Pastor Bill, 516-367-0391, 516-367-0391. Pastor Sam, I realize you're primarily familiar with Korean-American Christianity, but it struck me, and I've read in places that because many Asian Americans have had to flee their homelands because of political turmoil and persecution and war. Think of the Cambodian boat people, for example. Does that give something of a pilgrim character to Asian American Christianity, maybe perhaps the older generation?
That's right. The current situation, I don't think there is such crisis like Vietnamese War, but it's been decades even after that had happened. But all Asian communities that you know, they have experienced some kind of aftermath or the crisis of the war somewhere, sometime. And that brings them here with certain, as you said, fortitude and very goal-oriented minds. But more than anything, that opens up their hearts for the gospel. Mm-hmm. And that's how the churches are started in various Asian American communities.
Is there anything like, I know we'll talk more about ministry challenges in a moment, but is there anything like the racism that might exist between blacks and whites in the United States? Is anything like that with Asian Americans and with Caucasians?
Between Asian Americans and Caucasians?
Yeah, and people in the United States, I'm thinking of specifically.
In general, I would say yes. Even just my day-to-day experience in Queens as a minister, that is, I would travel around as I meet with authorities in various governments and dealing with people, I don't think they know it or they would say it out loudly. But I do feel like sometimes I am mistreated. So there certainly is certain aspects of racism there.
And for what, you don't probably don't know the motive, but I mean, for what reasons do you think would that exist? I mean, after World War II, there was antagonism toward Japanese Americans. And then after the Vietnam War, there was some of that toward Vietnamese Americans.
Right. I mean, Asian Americans in general, they look different. And their stature, their physical appearance is usually smaller than the counterparts. So I think it's just different experience for many people.
Yeah, this is the wonderful liberating truth. People are made in the image of God. They're not first Asian American or black American or white American or whatever. They're made in God's image, transforming. Let's talk about your ministry's challenges. And again, Pastor Sam, kind of give us a window as you minister to the Korean-American community. We're talking about language issues, cultural issues, generational issues always comes up.
Right.
We talked about the group versus the individual. Talk about some of those challenges in your ministry.
Yes, I would say many of Korean churches, Asian-American churches, are immigrants-based. So when immigrants who immigrated to the States, they leave the community where they were situated in the beginning. That's where most of our churches are. But now they are leaving that town for job or for whatever reason. Then it decreases the attendance and churches leaving as well. So though there are challenges for the influx of the people who are leaving the scene of where the community used to be. And internally, yes, as all cultures are dealing with that, we have generational issues, especially for us, not only generational issues, but there's a strict language barrier.
Because the next generation wants to speak English, obviously. They're maybe learning Korean at home, but they're going to be having English in their schools and elsewhere.
That's right. And the values are very different, I would say. Asian values and American values are sometimes very different.
Give us some examples. That's interesting.
Right. I would say, for example, whom I grew up in Korea. So first thing that I was very shocked when I first came to the States and in my high school experience was when a student stands up and speaks his mind freely, independently.
Especially in New York. You were in Texas.
That shocked me. And because in our culture, to be quiet is to be honorable thing to do. So many, many times, we wouldn't speak our minds freely. That is not encouraged, at least when I was growing up. So that shocked me when they would have one-on-one discussions with teachers who are authorities, quote-unquote. So those things are very different.
Yeah, give us some others. That's fascinating. Give us some others.
So, for example, in church life, too, when a second generation, they stand up, they speak their minds, many adults would say, older people would say, that's rude. That's okay. Not right thing to say or do, speak your mind freely in such a way.
The again, this is maybe a little bit far afield, but that deference to authority that is ingrained not just in Korean American culture, but at least from my experience in the overall Asian American culture, does that give the culture more of a proneness to cults, in which there are cult leaders that are looked to and just revered and never questioned?
That's right. There's a saying that Koreans had more self-proclaimed messiahs than any other group. So there has been so many cultic leaders. But even in churches, too, it tends to be a very authority-intensive, autocratic in terms of personality, dominating personalities. So there won't be much of an accountability, I would say.
Now, is that true even in Korean Presbyterian churches? That'd be the church background of the visit to the pastor's study audience. Is it true there in the Presbyterian churches?
I mean, yes and no. By definition, Presbyterianism is plurality of elders are leading the church, sort of like check and balances, not as government does, but as biblically sound way of governing the church. So if you are sound Presbyterian church in Korea, you will say Bible is the final authority and you will stick with the church constitution very orderly fashion. But one way or another, because our culture is more like older people dominating, even if you know something is wrong, you cannot or will not say anything. So that will contribute to that.
Okay, that might be. Yeah, and how, that's a huge question. We talked in the monologue a little bit about a greater sense of group identity and we'll say the Asian American mindset versus the very individual mindset in Americans. How is American culture affecting, we'll say, Korean American culture in that regard?
Right. Over the years, what I've noticed is that even though they're Koreans, once you spend your life here, 10, 20, 30 years working, going to school, interacting with other groups, they are more Americanized than they realize. So they will be more democratic in their dealings with their children, even the process. So I would see you have changed, I would say, even though you say you're not. But
yeah,
you
okay.
have changed.
And before our break, let's speak to people here who are parts of churches and they have Asian Americans move into their area. They're not in a particular Asian American community. What's the best way to reach out and minister to our Asian American friends?
I would say just treat them as, I would say, first of all, Americans. Any other approach would be offensive.
They don't want to be known as Korean Americans, Chinese Americans, that kind of thing.
They know consciously, but if somebody else points that out, no. They want to be identified as Americans. So just deal with them as you would with any ethnic groups.
And obviously asking a lot of questions so you can enter into their culture and background.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Right. Excellent. We're dealing today with the subject of ministry to the Asian American community, the largest ethnic community, or fastest growing, I should say, ethnic community in the United States. My guest is Pastor Sam Chung, who is on the staff of a Korean congregation in Queens here in New York. And we're going to, we just broached the subject of prayer in the Korean churches, which is fascinating. We'll touch on that in a moment. Let me just take a minute or two to tell you a little bit about who brings you this program. We are part of this radio program is a ministry of the Presbytery of Connecticut and Southern New York, of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, which probably doesn't mean a lot to some of you, but it's a regional body of Orthodox Presbyterian congregations. And we have churches in East Haddam, Connecticut. We have a congregation in Hamden, Connecticut, here in New York, in Mount Vernon, and in Fresh Meadows, Queens, in Franklin Square, New York, in Syosset, and in Bohemia. And if you're in those areas, you're looking for a faithful church, we can commend these Orthodox Presbyterian congregations to you. And again, this program is a ministry of that group of churches in this region. And I want to direct you to the archives of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. That's exactly what the program is. It's a way of your finding out the kinds of things that are discussed in a pastor's study regarding Christian life and particularly today Christian ministry. Our website, www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. Or you can go on sermonaudio.com and search A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and you'll get archives there. Topics like what to do about abortion, schooling, public, private, or Christian schooling, otherwise homeschooling. Topics like the transgender revolution and seeking to assess that from a biblical perspective. And all of this is designed to help us better minister in these various communities in our culture, forming young disciples. Excellent one-hour interview with Pastor Ben Miller regarding what it is to, we talk about covenant nurture, raising children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But you will find archives that will be helpful for you, bringing pastoral ministry not as a substitute for your own pastor, but as an augment to pastoral ministry. A Visit to the Pastor's Study, www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. We're also on Facebook. You can like us on Facebook, and we always value your questions and your comments. We appreciate that. You can also email me if you'd like to email me personally, and that's pastorbill@gmail.com, pastorbill@gmail.com. Visit Pastor Bill. We have so many email addresses here. Visit Pastor Bill at gmail.com. Topic today, ministry, the Asian American community. My guest, Pastor Sam Chung. We'd love your phone call, your calls, 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400. Or you can text your question. Just put down Pastor Bill, 516-367-0391, 516-367-0391. Now, the big thing to discuss. So this seems to be, I think, the distinguishing mark of Korean churches, I would believe of whatever denomination, is the emphasis on prayer. Talk with us about that.
If you visit any Korean churches in your town, neighborhood, or even website, if you can, there will always be this emphasis on early morning prayer. So meeting times will vary from 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m., 6 a.m. daily. So that has been ingrained in our Korean Christian culture from the beginning when the missionaries came. And I believe it's more agricultural.
And you might back up a little bit. When the missionaries came, we're looking at what, the latter part of the 19th century?
Yes. Latter parts and early 20th century.
Early 20th century. Okay. I didn't mean to interrupt, but it's important. Right. Yeah, we're talking about something relatively recent.
Yes. I've researched on my own to read books on it. And there are reports that many American missionaries came. And since it was agricultural, a society back then, there is no time during the midday and afternoon and evening times that they are very tired. So they had to, in agricultural society, they had to wake up early anyways. So there was an emphasis from the beginning, and it has been ingrained in our Korean Christian culture. Regardless of your denomination, there will be heavy emphasis on early prayer, even overnight prayer, the method and how you pray and all these things, this heavy emphasis.
So what is it like? What's an all-night prayer meeting like?
So during most churches who practice that practice the overnight prayer will be on Friday nights. So Saturday morning, they are mostly free. So starting from around 9 p.m. or so, there's a preaching, there is a praise, but there's a prayer. So there's a topical prayers that are given out or individual prayers. But once you go there, you are expected to stay until 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. until that morning prayer begins.
Now, is this all one group all this time? Do you break into smaller groups for your prayer time?
Right. So some churches, they would take turns. Some let you go on your own, so freely you could leave any time. But at least outwardly, they would say that is overnight prayer. Or if they're honest, they would say just late night prayer, yeah, because many people just go home by midnight.
But it's all one group for the whole time.
One group, yes, yeah, okay. I would say.
Okay, talk. What about your prayer meetings in Queens at 6 o'clock in the morning? You said, right?
Ours is at 5:30 a.m.
Okay,
Monday through actually Friday.
It lasts how long?
30 minutes of praise and preaching, and you're on your own. But most people stay until 6:30 at least.
Okay, how does the actual prayer time go? It's a group. Someone stands and leads the group. Or you break up into smaller groups to pray. What's that actually like?
Most Korean churches, I would say, there is a pastor and elder who's leading in front. He will give out topics, and they will pray together. They will pray really loud, out loud.
Oh, so everyone's praying.
Everyone's praying.
Oh, okay. So everyone, that's
with that topic.
Must have sound a little bit like the Day of Pentecost, I would think.
That's right. Actually, they would say they are modeled after that.
Okay. And is now culturally, we're in the United States. I mean, you remember from Korea because you were brought up, mm-hmm, in South Korea. What would you see people on the streets early in the morning going to these prayer meetings?
Right. They would go.
Now, what about, this is New York, it's not Seoul, South Korea. Mm-hmm. I mean, just to get people to a prayer meeting at any time is a challenge in New York. What are things like with your morning prayer meetings now?
Right. So in my particular case, about 100 people will attend daily, I would say. Okay. But mostly.
And the congregation is how many families, how many individuals?
We Sunday attendance would be about adults only 800. To 900 people.
So you're talking about an eighth to a ninth of the congregation gathers each morning for prayer.
Right. I would say, but they are mostly elderly people because for people who are working or going to school, it is almost impossible to stop by and go. There are certain cases that they would do, but most of them, they would not. They cannot.
Does that include sharing answers to prayer? So the pastor leads these groups, mm-hmm, and throws these things out to pray for. You also, with all this praying, there must be some answers to prayer as well.
That's a good point, actually. It seems to me there is so much emphasis on the activity of prayer, the duration or the method of prayer. Actually, I don't know if there is any time that we could say this is answered. Other than pastor could announce it, this has been answered or not. But there are no individual cases who could stand up or share in that prayer time.
Now, you mentioned method of prayer. What do you mean by method of prayer?
Depending on your tradition and denomination, I would say. But if you're Korean, let's say, what do you do in your prayer meeting? There's only one thing that we do that is praying out loud. And there's a certain sense of pride in that somehow. Everyone praying out loud or encouraged to pray out loud. And there are times that you could go on your own and be quiet and listen to God's voice and pray. But we are encouraged to pray out loud all the time.
Yeah, now, this is my ignorance, and I don't mean this facetiously, okay?
Sure.
How do you pay attention when everyone is praying out loud? I mean, what, you kind of tune it out and just say, pray yourself or what?
Standard answer would be, if you are a young Christian, you'll be bothered by others' voices. But once you grow in your prayer practice, you tune them out, even though they are extremely, extremely loud. not for the sake of being loud, but yes, they would pray.
It'd be very personal. Is it? You're not a young Christian. Have you kind of learned how to focus on what you're saying and tune out what others are saying, or is that a challenge?
For me personally, I grew out of it, and I'm comfortable in those settings,
yeah,
praying
okay.
my own topics.
And is there likewise an emphasis on personal worship, personal prayer, family worship, family prayer?
That's a very, very good question. Because of so much emphasis is on attending.
Yeah, the group.
And such as waking up early is equated as your spiritual vitality. Uh-huh. So there is, I wouldn't say, as much emphasis on personal worship than personal prayer, which is imbalance in Christian life.
So, and again, maybe this is not the best choice of words. Is there a certain amount of pride in that distinctive?
National pride.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. And was this... So this was the practice that was inculcated in all of the churches from the missionaries. It was something that was fueled by the war, the Korean War in the late 1940s. I mean, was there a sense? When I've dealt with brothers and sisters in the Middle East, for example, they have, at least with the churches that I've worked with, they'll have a couple of days of prayer and fasting a month. And the reason is, they say, when you're dealing with the political and religious issues we are, We must have that time. Was there anything like that dynamic in the Korean churches?
It's just the time, at the time when missionaries came, that early 1900s, the Korea was actually under the rule, dominion of Japanese kingdom.
Okay.
So there was already that ripe attitude of just crying out to God for deliverance politically and even suffering and economic level. Maybe that contributed much to that practice.
Yeah, exactly. That's fascinating, the dynamics. When we talk, before our little break, we've talked, just not mentioned, we've talked about Presbyterian churches. What are your other denominations in South Korea? It's largely Presbyterian.
That's
correct?
Right, largely. And you will see very little numbers of Baptist Korean churches, even though the number has been growing recently. But predominantly, Korean churches are Presbyterian churches.
And committed to the Reformed faith, committed to what we call Calvinism.
I would say that's a different thing.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Korean Presbyterians and being a Reformed, I think there's a little difference.
Yeah. And we should just, I've got to be careful with our lingo here.
Yes.
Presbyterian, we're talking about churches that are governed by presbyters or elders, not by a single pastor who's governing everything. And then when we talk about the Reformed faith, this has nothing to do with a certain branch of Judaism, but it's that Protestantism that grew out of the Protestant Reformation, and particularly the Calvinistic branch of the Reformation. The emphasis on the sovereignty of God, the total depravity of men and women and boys and girls, the fact that God chose from before the foundation of the world those who would be His. When Christ died on the cross, He died and paid the full punishment for all of the sins of His people, not to make salvation possible for all, but rather to guarantee it for the chosen ones, for the elect. And that should drive us to mercy and not pride, to a merciful and a humble spirit rather than pride. That God saves is probably the big term for the Reformed faith. He opens our eyes, turns us from darkness to light, and when He saves us, He keeps us. No one will pluck us out of our Lord's hands. And for those of you who come from different backgrounds, you should know that if you want to go ahead and interact on those things, the text number is 516-367-0391, 516-367-0391. And then the call, live call-in number, 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400. We talked about avoiding cultural insensitivity as we interact with Asian Americans. And when the voice of the Pastor's Study has done this commercial, we'll talk about that.
It's not enough to listen to pastors on the radio or to watch them on television. Everyone needs a biblically faithful pastor, and everyone needs a biblically faithful church. A Visit to the Pastor's Study is a ministry of the Orthodox Presbyterian Churches in the metropolitan New York area. We're no substitute for a faithful pastor in a local church, but we are a supplement. Visit our website, www.visitthepastorsstudy.org, and you'll find the ministry of this program extended right to your electronic device. Here you'll find archives of past programs, a weekly message from Pastor Bill's Pastor's Post, helps for pastors, helps for congregation members, material for officer training, and much more. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. And we also invite you to contact the host of this program, Pastor Bill Shishko. You can email him at visitpastorbill@gmail.com. He'd love to hear from you so that he can bring his pastoral ministry to you personally. That's visitpastorbill@gmail.com. Remember, everyone needs a pastor. And now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
I can tell that people really enjoy texting their questions to us, and we have one. It fits perfectly with what we just mentioned. This listener says, I worship in an area that is largely Asian and Jewish in Queens, New York. I would very much like to know, are there things that we could do to communicate with our brothers and sisters that are Asian in the church? And are there things that would be offensive to them? I sense that they are more respectful of authority and even others in general.
Right. So I would just say, like I said in the beginning, just treat them as equals and Americans first, and show them the grace of God, love of God, and show them from the Bible the truth. Then I think that will work.
And, but are there things? Let me give you an example. In the Middle East, I was unaware that when you are sitting, if you cross your legs, that is a declaration of war.
That's right.
And I was very thankful to have a Christian brother let me know that early on before I declared war by my posture.
Right.
Are we dealing with things like that, Pastor Sam?
Sure. Pastors or whoever's talking with their hands in the pocket would be seen very offensive.
Don't talk to somebody with your hands in your pockets. Okay.
Right, if you're a pastor, especially.
Oh, if you're a pastor, especially.
If you're standing in front, do not put your hands in your pocket.
Okay.
But I don't know anything else that would be very offensive.
Okay, because I have read, I mentioned to you a letter that was signed by, it was Asian American, kind of like an open letter from Asian Americans to the American Evangelical Church, in which they were deeply upset at these offenses that had come and not feeling they had a place at the table. I mean, does that register with you when you hear that?
Yes and no again. I would say to them, I think it's a proper thing for Asian Americans to do is to show reverence or the respect to the pre-existing people and communities, and always be grateful for the gospel that they handed down to us. So with that gratitude, you could work together as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah, so and it's important to understand this when we're dealing with brothers and sisters, to understand the rich cultural heritage that the Asian Americans bring to us, particularly the Korean Americans, appreciation certainly for your cultural traits. And then last but not least, in church ministry to Asian Americans, the tendency is obviously for Asian Americans to go to an Asian American congregation. And yet we really, even though that's what people do, it's supposed to be a church growth principle, the Bible's supposed to break down those barriers in church life. Practical suggestions for how those barriers can be broken down with our Asian American brothers and sisters who are right with us in the church.
Right. If they are in your church, I've been thinking about this for a while too. Once again, it's very basic standard answer, but to show them from the Bible what the gospel means and how that applies as a community and not simply flocking together with your own comfortable people, but to broaden it, especially as you and I live in New York City, this area, that's really detrimental to the gospel advance. So teaching them, showing them the gospel, gospel motivation is the best way to go about, I think, than any other motivation.
And, of course, that's true not only with Korean Americans specifically or Asian Americans in general. It's with people, period, as you deal with them. Pastor Sam, let's say there's some listeners, they've not wanted to call, they've not wanted to text, but they'd like to chat with you about ministry, especially in the Korean American community. Your contact information?
Yes, that'll be Pastor Sam Chung, CHUNG at gmail.com. Pastor Sam Chung at gmail.com.
Oh, there you go. Pastor Sam Chung at gmail.com. It's kind of like as easy as mine is, visit Pastor Bill at gmail.com, and we do love to hear from you. Closing words, Pastor Sam. You got about a minute and a half left. What's the big thing you want to leave with us about ministry to the Asian American community?
I think the rediscovery of the gospel as that is handed down to us as a Reformed Christian, I would say, from Reformers then on, would have greater impact irrespective of your origin, ethnic groups, and cultures, because we know gospel transcends. And recently I've been rediscovering it on my own and sharing with the people, and they are ready to listen. The gospel that is in the Bible.
You specify that, parse that for us.
Yes, I've been teaching and learning at the same time, but teaching the Romans.
Okay.
Romans, and how gospel is not simply forgiveness of sins, but justified and fully being righteous in the sight of God by the work of Christ. That really freed so many of my people that I've been teaching about.
Not just Korean Americans, my dear brother, but all of us. You had mentioned a book that you wanted us to be aware of.
Yes, I recently read it's called Sympathizer by Viet Nguyen. He won Pulitzer Prize of novel category last year. And it will open up some eyes for my Caucasian friends at what Asian Americans often think about their counterparts in daily lives.
The book again?
Sympathizer.
Sympathizer, Pulitzer Prize winning. He said it's very, very well written. Sympathizer.
Yes.
Pastor Sam Chung, a minister of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, laboring in a Korean-American congregation in Queens. Thank you for giving us your time today. We have virtually come to the end of another visit to the Pastor's Study, and we do appreciate your feedback or your questions. You can email me at visitpastorbill@gmail.com. Visit PastorBill@gmail.com. And you should know that there are archives at the Visit the Pastor Study website that will be helpful for pastors, for elders, for deacons. And it's been a delight to interact with some of you over those things as well. Remember, tomorrow is the Lord's Day. So be sure to set apart time to worship the Lord in a church that's faithful to the Word of God. And remember, too, that everyone needs a pastor. Let's pray together, and let's pray for so many of these matters that have been before us in the program today. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for the gospel. We praise you that by the cross, the middle wall of hostility between sinners and you is broken down, and to those who come to Christ and the cross, the middle wall of hostility between one another is broken down as well. And our God, we pray you would break down those barriers. Remind us when we deal with people of other cultures, we're not dealing with Asian Americans or Black Americans or Hispanic Americans. We're dealing with people made in God's image. And our Lord, when we're dealing with Christians, remind us that we are dealing with brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make us radical to live out of the final authority of Holy Scripture and to live out of that union that we have in Christ in common with all those who have come to them in Him in true faith. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.
You've been listening to A Visit to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of Reformation Metro New York. Our website is www.reformationmetrony.org. Again, that's www.reformationmetrony.org. For more information on the program, check out our website at www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. Listen in next week at 12 noon for another edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Remember, everyone needs a pastor.